This is Kate Moorhead Carroll in the podcast Find It. This podcast is the third of a three-part series on the art of the funeral. Part three, the day itself. Make sure someone is at the church 3 hours before the service, as florists don't seem to respect time and often deliver flowers very early. This is a wonderful job for a volunteer. Place tissues in the pews, a guest book at the back for folks to sign, and a basket or plate for donations. Buy the guest book at a Walmart or Target, and not from a funeral home, as they can charge $100 or more. Light the paschal candle way before the service and place it at the entrance of the church to lead in the coffin or urn with the symbol of eternal life. Make sure sound systems are turned on, and if necessary, readings are placed and Eucharistic elements prepared ahead of time. Remember that the loved ones are in the throes of the initial stages of grief. This can lead to temper tantrums, irrationality, tears, exhaustion, lack of appetite, and carelessness in driving. Have water and coffee at the ready. Gather the family apart from the service in a quiet space where they cannot be seen. Go into them at least 20 minutes before the service and again 10 minutes before. Make sure they know that you're there. Ask them if they have eaten. Introduce yourself to those who you don't know and reassure them that you are honored to be officiating at this service. As the time approaches, introduce them to any other players in the service, such as vergers, acolytes, other clergy, volunteers. Gather the family and loved ones in a circle and pray before they enter the church. Reassure them that it's okay to laugh or to cry. Have someone lead them into their reserved seats. Remind the eulogist to speak slowly and clearly. Be sure to rehearse them prior to the service using the same amplification system that they will be using in the service. They must slow their speech and speak clearly. Also, have a layperson, verger, or acolyte accompany the bereaved to the lectern, as they are prone to falling. Never let them walk up there alone. Always put tissues in the pews. Gather the family in a separate place before the service and usher them in right as the prelude begins. They must be protected from the congregation until the reception. Laity, you can be the best protectors, guides, and counselors. Be sure they have eaten, that they go to the bathroom, that bulletins are placed in their pews, and that they are assisted in walking. Have water in the gathering place for the family and coffee when appropriate. Funeral bulletins must be very clear. Remember that many who come are unchurched. Explain everything. The smaller the church, the more you should explain and show. The bulletin could contain explanations as to why we do what we do. These practices are ancient and so full of meaning. Let people know what we are doing and why, without being cumbersome or interrupting the flow of the liturgy. The paschal candle is lit at the Easter vigil from a kindled fire. It is a symbol of light entering the darkness, of the resurrection itself. Use it to enter the church. Let it lead the procession as you say or sing the words of resurrection. But explain why you're doing this. Just a sentence or two will give them so much more context. Time this in such a way that you reach the altar by the end of the resurrection words. If you sing a hymn, say, let us sing hymn number 234, which can be found in the blue hymnal in the pew back in front of you. Tell people when to stand and when to sit. Say, please be seated for the reading of Scripture. If it is not in the bulletin, it is helpful to say, and now Sally's daughter will read from the Old Testament. Or let us sing one of Dan's favorite hymns. People need and respond to this kind of personalization and orientation. It is very different from a Sunday morning liturgy where most people know what's happening. Use your intuition and remember the preferences of the one who died. Be flexible. If someone fails to remember something, it's okay to explain what is going on. If someone is having trouble getting through a reading, it's okay to go to them and stand with them to strengthen them. To ask them, can you go on or what would you like me to finish? Be sure readers don't walk to the lectern alone as they can trip, but get a volunteer to hold their arm. If a eulogy or eulogies go on too long, then cut your homily back a bit. If the eulogies start to go on really long, you can say, thank you so much, or you can walk up and put your arm on them and say, this is wonderful, we're going to have to wrap it up and get the service started. Again, be flexible and very awake to the tolerance and mood of the congregation. They can handle so much. We want them to remember what is said, and we want them to want to return. I had a professor in seminary who thought that one should never preach a person into heaven. In other words, don't you dare talk about what a great person they were, but instead preach about Christ. I don't agree. I think you need to do both. People long to hear about the person. Sure, don't make them a saint if they weren't, but be grateful for the good things that they did do. But also talk of the gift of Jesus. Remind people of the communion of saints, our loved ones who have died, that we can speak to them and they do hear us. Remind them that love does not die. But do talk of the person's life. That is why everyone is there. It is okay to love the deceased and honor that person from the pulpit. When introducing the creed, say, we invite you to join us in reciting the story of our faith. Or, let us say together that in which we place our trust. And let the prayers be led by a layperson who loved them. At the announcements, be sure to explain if there is communion, that in the book of Revelation it says that there is a table set in heaven and we all partake of Christ's body and blood together, that this transcends time and is a way for us to be with the deceased. Explain the charities that one can give to in order to celebrate the person's life, and don't forget to invite them to a reception or a burial if there is one. Explain that the family will process out of the church behind the remains and that they can be greeted at the reception. If this is not done, the family will get stuck in the church with people greeting them and they will never make it to the reception. If you do a Eucharist, do a brief Eucharistic prayer. Be sure to invite everyone to the altar rail, explaining that if they are not baptized from another religious tradition, or not sure what they believe, that you will bless them, and this is a good thing, it can't hurt. Encourage them to be part of the celebration in this way. Paul says that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, so I like for the entire altar party to gather around the remains for the commendation. There they stand in their white robes, reminiscent of the visions of Revelation. And from there, the procession flows easily. I have the family process behind the remains as it gets them to where they need to be without interruption. Say, stay, priest, to greet people. Walk to the reception. It's a wonderful time to get to know people who might become parishioners, and it gives people hope. Hug the family and reassure them that grief is a strange process. It comes in waves and is unique for every person. At the onset of a death, there is often a period of numbness or shock. Make sure that the bereaved are carefully driving, or don't let them drive at all. Ask them if they are eating and sleeping. Basic human needs are what need to be attended to first. Touch is helpful, if appropriate. Or just standing near a person silently. Once the funeral is over and the friends and relatives go back to their normal lives, then the true grieving begins. The job of the church does not end at a funeral, but must continue for months and years afterwards. Support groups, lunches, friendships, even giving the bereaved volunteer work, these all can be helpful. The main thing is to keep the lines of communication open and to make sure that the bereaved don't over-isolate. Do they have a supportive family or friendships nearby? Can they connect with others? Human contact is a must, and it cannot be done by the priest. It is essential that you enlist your lay ministers in the care of the bereaved. partner someone who has a lost loved one a few years ago with someone who is recently widowed. It is so good for both of them. The main thing is that the person left behind must be encouraged to live, that it is okay to live, that their loved one would want them to live, that they are loved, and that God has them here on this earth for a purpose, for their time has not yet come.
Thank you for joining me in the podcast, Find It. Remember that if you keep searching for the divine presence, you will find it. I want to invite you, if you're interested in hearing more of these podcasts, to subscribe. Just hit the subscribe button and you will be informed of new episodes. And before we part ways, I pray that God will bless you and hold you, give you peace.